Camp Edge, the vacation church school, is this next week. You'll see some evidence of that over in the corner. We will also be contributing to the mission project for Tanner's Totes. There's been a lot of information about Tanner's Totes in the newsletter. If you didn't get a newsletter or you can't find yours, all you have to do is go to the information center outside the fellowship hall and get a list of things that can go into Tanner's Totes. This is an outreach program for that group of youngsters that tends to fall between the cracks. They're the tweens and teenage cancer victims. So that's what Tanner's Totes is all about. And Tanner's a basketball player at Clemson, and this is a really valid, significant project that our kids will be contributing to this week. So get a list of supplies and bring them up here so they can pack the totes. That's going to be the kids' outreach program for Vacation Church School. Again, the red pamphlet inside your bulletin is about Salkehatchee, that the camp in Greenwood, and the materials that they need. And if you're interested in providing popsicles one in the afternoon or taking popsicles to the work site, please call Kathy and let her know. The dates for that, of course, are June 27th through July the 4th. Also, note other information in your newsletter and in your bulletin, and I want to turn this over to Larry now.
Thank you, Mary Lynn. This announcement is in your bulletin, but I need to draw special attention to it. On Monday evening, June the 29th, the Spirit Singers, which is our all-conference youth choir, will be presenting a worship service in this sanctuary, Monday evening, June the 29th. I draw this to your attention because we need host homes for that youth choir. The youth choir is comprised of 32 youth and 6 adult chaperones. And by the way, our own Wesley Runyon is a member of the Spirit Singers. As I said, we need host homes, and we still need places for 18 youth and 5 adults. So as you can see, we're not quite halfway getting a place for everyone to spend the night, and we have 2 weeks left in which to do that. If you would be willing to open your home to a pair or perhaps even 4 of the youth or any of the adult chaperones, please see me after the service. You can find me in the choir room right across the hall, or you can contact me at the church sometime during this coming week. And please put on your calendar that service Monday night, June the 29th. Having concluded the announcements, I now ask you to center your hearts and minds as we prepare for worship.
Let us all stand for the call to worship. It is good to give thanks to God, come to make music to our Creator. Declare God's steadfast love and faithfulness. Seek God's help in the sanctuary. Listen for the voice of God speaking to us again. How great is our God, our rock, and our defender.
Please be seated, and I invite you to join me in the invocation. We turn to you, God of all worlds, knowing we can depend on you when earthly rulers stumble and fall, when other relationships are strained and broken, when we are faced with difficult challenges. It is good to sing your praises, even when we do not feel like singing. It is good to declare your faithfulness when we have been unfaithful. It is good to give thanks, for when we do, we are reminded of the multitude of blessings we so often take for granted. Lead us in this time of worship. Amen. And I invite forward at this time Patricia Lindell for our prayer warrior moment.
Today is the second Sunday in June of 2009. Now, 10 years ago, on the second Sunday in June of year 2000, our church celebrated our first dedication of prayer warriors as we began a new ministry, caring for our children and youth. A Disciple One Bible study class learned of this ministry from a class member who had moved to Greenwood from another state. And this had been well received in their former church. They had prayed by name and hopefully most every day for all their children and youth from newborn to the graduation from high school. We decided that this was a must for all our young people, and with the blessings of our pastor, who was the Reverend Larry Jenkins, we began creating the mechanics of this ministry. For those who are new in our congregation, all family members who have children have a volunteer person or a couple who make a covenant with God to pray for their children by name every day. Their prayer is their gift and not tangible gifts. These are not encouraged. But cards, conversations, hellos and hugs are encouraged, as this ministry is no secret. It is a ministry of sharing of love and joy, praise and encouragement to our youth, whether you're in church, whether you might meet at the grocery store. As we were first developing our plans, our leader said that he sure wished his two college student sons could be included in this, as he felt this was certainly a time in their lives when prayers were so needed. We all agreed and quickly decided that we would carry our ministry through age 22 and still unmarried. Once they get married, we decided then they can be a prayer warrior. I am so happy to say this has proven to have been a very wise decision. As leaders of our church and of this ministry, we also had prayers. First, we prayed that each prayer warrior has been faithful in sharing their love with their assigned family of children. And we all understand that every day just might slip by sometimes, but you carry them in your heart. Then we also pray that parents have been receptive of this ministry and have welcomed their prayer warriors. We pray that you have taught your children about these persons who have had this special interest in them and have explained to them why this interest is so present. Has this ministry been effective in our church? Most definitely. Younger children may have a simple understanding of this and have a thank you appreciation for their special friend. Others have shared a close bond and perhaps some pleasant times together. Because of the length of 10 years, some children might think everybody has a prayer warrior. However, unless this is discussed at home, some children may not even realize they have this privilege. We pray that this has been a blessing to help build a foundation of faith in their church and with their Christian friends. It seems that this has been our older youth that we have experienced sincere understanding and appreciation. And one story I would like to share comes from a mother that most all of you know, and this is with her permission. During our second or third year, I made an appeal at a Wednesday night gathering for more prayer warriors. This mother, along with several others, came directly to me and said that she had to sign up to be a prayer warrior. She wanted to be a part of a ministry that had created such a positive effect on their child. It was because this child, known to be on the lively side, responded with, "How can I do anything but write when I know I have Miss praying for me every day?" I was told that this now young adult considers this ministry to have been a life-changing experience. The main thing this prayer warrior did was to chit-chat at church or whenever there was an opportunity, and she casually always reminded this youth that, "I've been praying for you every day." There are many other stories too, and all of these are from our own youth at Main Street United Methodist Church. Prayer warriors, you never know what effect you may have on your family by what you say or what you do. Has it been worth it? Oh, yes. Some have nurtured the same family of children during all 10 years. Some like to change every year or so, and many have changed because theirs have graduated or have moved out of town. We are also blessed to have one of our former youth now serve as a prayer warrior. I now have one more request. In today's world, times are busy, times are tough, and tough times are always available. Perhaps in your prayers you can include the parents too. Pray for parents to take the time to insist on and to bring their family to Sunday school, to church, to the Wednesday night fellowship, to the choir, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, or to the other various youth activities. Whether we are prayer warriors, parents, grandparents, children, or youth, we do get tired. But there are some things in life that we must do because it's the right thing to do. Let us all ask God to help us to work to keep our priorities in the right order. As of today, we have 146 prayer warriors praying and caring for 176 children and youth. This is a total of 322 persons involved with this prayer warrior ministry. Thank you, prayer warriors, for everything that you have done. And may this year be a blessing for you and for your covenant families. Thank you.
And Patricia, we thank you for your hard work. I invite you now to find the Litany for Prayer Warriors inserted in your bulletin. To join me, and prayer warriors, be ready to stand. I will ask you to stand in a few moments. Christians know the power of prayer. We know that we have a loving God who cares for each of us. We know our God listens through our prayers to our deepest concerns. We know that God answers our prayers. Each of you has volunteered to become prayer warriors. I suppose I'm supposed to ask the prayer warriors to stand already. Please stand, so we know who it is we're talking about. Please stand. That's quite a few of us. Quite a few of us. Each of you standing has volunteered to become prayer warriors for Main Street United Methodist Church. You have offered to give a part of your personal prayer life and dedicate it to the welfare of a very precious part of this body of Christ, that is, the children of our church. Together, you prayer warriors will pray for every child in this church every day by name. In doing so, you freely give a gift to our children, knowledge that someone who may not even personally know them is praying for them out of Christian love and dedication. There is no better example to show that the church is the body of Christ and that all its parts are bound together in love. Now, prayer warriors, do you promise that you will pray for the welfare of our children? Do you agree that each day you will pray by name for the children assigned to you that they may grow in the way of Christ? If asked, will you take your child's special concerns to your heart and raise them up in prayer? Above all, will you do these things in Christian love, knowing that prayer is a powerful force in seeking God's direction for our children? If so, will you say, "With God's grace, I will"? Now that we might accomplish what we hope to accomplish, I would like to call upon the entire church. Those of you who are seated, please now stand. I'd like for the rest of you to stand and pledge yourselves to pray for those who were originally standing as prayer warriors. So now, as we stand beside our brothers and sisters in Christ, will you promise to pray for these prayer warriors each and every day? If so, will you say, with God's grace, I will. With God's grace, I will. I ask you all to please be seated, and I do thank you for those who are directly involved and for the church who supports the entire program.
We will begin with the sung response, which I will ask Joyce to play now.
The epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 17. You can find this passage on page 220 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, Paul continues the theme of eternal life as a source of confidence and hope in the face of affliction and persecution. Listen again for God's words to us. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God. And I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we're convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. This is the word of the Lord.
As we come to our prayer time, I have several concerns to lift up. Anne Farquhar's mother, Mildred Moore, is in hospice and doing very poorly. Meredith Driver Edwards, who we have been in prayer for other concerns, is now going to have a heart valve replacement on Wednesday in Greenville. Please continue to be in prayer for her. Joan Engvall lost a brother over a week ago. Lib Gambrill is home but not doing very well. Karen Dent has injured her shoulder. Hazel Bennett also injured her shoulder. Frank Rice will be deployed soon. Please be in prayer for Frank and his family. And Rebecca and Don Marino. Rebecca is on bed rest until her baby is born for several months to go. Also, Amy Gregory Young undergoing continued treatments. Brad DeLoach is in Mosul, and it's an area that's having frequent firefights. Please be in prayer for Brad. And also, Kathy Kelly has a nephew, Michael Undery. Please be in prayer for him as well. Let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come to thank you for this day and for this safe place, this sanctuary where we are known and supported and where we feel and experience your love. We gather to praise you. And we do pray your blessings upon our prayer warrior program, our vacation Bible school, our upcoming Salkehatchie camp, and even our softball team tomorrow night. We pray that you bless the relationships created through these events. We pray that your grace and your spirit inhabit these. Use us as conduits of your grace. Empower us and embolden us to lift each other up, to hold each other accountable, and to spur each other on from words of faith to action and to growth. We pray also your comfort, that peace that you have promised us. For the world is filled with anxiousness just now, and the news is rarely good. Give us all encouragement and peace and wisdom as we go forward. We pray especially for those who grieve, for those with career and financial uncertainty, for those involved in disputes, for those who are fearful, and for those who need your guidance and direction. Lord, we also pray for the leaders of the nations of the world, that they be open to the influence of your Holy Spirit, open to the things that make for peace. Lord, we pray now, in a moment of silent prayer, the prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Sit over here, hint, hint. Close to all this stuff, hint, hint. Good morning. I want to play a quick game with you guys this morning, okay? You like games? Okay, so I'm going to name some items, and you're going to tell me the group or the category that they belong to. For example, if I said chocolate syrup, whipped cream, sprinkles, M&Ms, nuts, a cherry on top, you would say things that can go on what? Pancakes? That wasn't the answer I was thinking of, but that sounds really good. Ice cream is what I was thinking of, but pancakes, that works for me too. That sounds really good. Well, you get the idea. So here we go. You ready? Flashlight, bug spray. Wait till I'm finished, okay? Sleeping bag, pillow, matches, stuff to make s'mores, a frisbee, trail mix, a tent, hiking boots, and your Bible. Can you name that category or group? What?
Camping.
Things that you would take.
Camping,
very good. Tomorrow morning, right here at Main Street United Methodist Church in Greenwood, South Carolina, you guys are going camping all week long. It starts at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. I hope you guys are signed up and you're going to come, because I understand that you're going to Camp Edge. And Edge, this is a big fancy word, is an acronym. Does anybody know what an acronym is? Oh, I know. It's a what?
A campsite.
A campsite? Maybe. There might be an acronym for a campsite. Actually, EDGE is an acronym for a campsite, and that just means that all of the first letters of the words stand for other words. And does anybody know what EDGE stands for? I think you've heard it. Yep. Go ahead. You are so good. Experience and discover God everywhere. E-D-G-E. Get it? And I hear, it does say it on the ball. You're very good. Very good. Very observant. And I hear it's going to be, this week is going to be really action-packed and a lot of fun. So you may want to bring your tennis shoes, I hear. But even more importantly, you heard Dr. Polk mention this morning. Every year at Vacation Bible School, we have a mission project that we do to help others. It might be others in our community or somewhere in the world. And I actually got online and read about this last night, and it really is a cool one. And you can see examples of it right in front of you. Do you see the tote bags with the dog and the basketball? Do you see those? That is an example of Tanner's totes. Yeah, he did. That's right. And you are going to be bringing items to go inside that. And as Dr. Polk said this morning, Tanner, when he started this, he was really just really not a whole lot older than you guys right now. And he had seen his father go through cancer, and he had seen that, you know, you have a lot of long, kind of boring days in the hospital sometime. And he had decided through this experience that, you know, helping teenagers and boys and girls who are almost teenagers who go through something very similar to that, cancer or other really long-term illnesses, they've got a lot of long, boring days in the hospital. And wouldn't it be neat if they had some really...
And they bring toys
in. They do. Yeah, and I was just going to talk about some of those things that you might want to bring, but I think you're pretty well on your way on that, aren't you? You could bring things like drawing pads and colored pencils and markers and diaries. Do any of you guys have a journal or a diary? That would be really cool if you were on a long trip or in a hospital and you wanted to write about your experience there. A pocketbook, yeah. Yeah, you've already brought your stuff. Good. Playing cards, puzzles, anything that you guys think would be really neat to do if you were stuck in the bed and you were sick, but you felt okay enough to do stuff and you got bored really easily. So anything that you would want, maybe what? Oh, somebody's sick. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Your friend is sick. Well, I hope she's better. So don't forget your camping clothes tomorrow. And ladies, is it blue tomorrow? Is it wear blue? Okay. I think that's what it said in the literature I was reading about. So wear blue tomorrow and don't forget to lay your clothes out tonight for Camp Edge tomorrow, okay? So let's say a prayer. Ready? Dear God, thank you for Vacation Bible School. And the opportunity to learn and to help others. Amen. I hope you have a great week at Camp Edge.
Now let us pass the peace. Please be seated. Will not have the gospel reading today. I changed my text after the bulletin was printed. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love this story about a grandmother and a mother and a little boy who were at a restaurant, and the waitress took the grandmother's order and the mother's order, then went on to the little boy and said, "What would you like?" And the mother interrupted and said, "Oh no, I'll order for him." And then the waitress just kept staring right at the little boy and said, "What would you like?" And the little boy just was amazed. He was wide-eyed, this little preschool boy, and looked at his mother and said, "She thinks I'm real." We've all had moments like that. What small, seemingly insignificant interactions plant seeds of encouragement. And sometimes words such as that waitress hold up a new mirror and help us see ourselves differently. Words do have power. I remind you that our gospel begins with the Word, God's Word become flesh and dwelling among us. And I'm getting theological for just a minute, but it continues in the Gospel of John saying that God's Word was made flesh, and someone, the Son of God, we beheld and knew as Jesus. The only scripture that I really want to bring up is one that you've probably read and just skipped right over. It's not on any bumper sticker. It's not on any devotional poster anywhere. May never have even made it to the upper room. But I'm going to lift up one verse from Acts 14. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. By words, they strengthened the souls of these new disciples. A throwaway little verse. But imagine, it relates that something as puny, as weak as mere words can strengthen someone's soul. Encouraging words have power to strengthen a soul. But every coin has two sides, and you have to ask, what do discouraging words do to someone's soul? I think we know. It takes so little to build up and encourage someone. I believe that our mere words are sometimes conduits for the very grace of God. And you may think that it takes some mystical and prayer-filled and seminary-degreed and counselor-trained person to impart God's grace to another hurting, hungry heart. But no, you can do it. You can be the conduit for God's grace before you even leave this building today. I know it. I have experienced it, and on good days, when I make myself available to God, I've actually been one of those God has used to build up another. I'll give you a small example involving one of our members here, and I don't have his permission to tell this story, but I hope he will forgive me. And if not, there's a door here. Maybe I can make it. It was maybe last year, maybe the year before. My son Dave was at a high school coach's clinic walking around, lost a rookie coach, trying to be invisible and figure out how coaches are supposed to act. Well, Dave happened upon a group of people encircling somebody, sort of like Braves would circle around a chief. And in the middle of that circle was our own Coach Sheldua, definitely a celebrity at these events. And as Dave walked by, Coach Dua called out, "Coach Dennis, how's it going?" That little action. Dave's fellow coaches from Little West Oak High School said, "Dang, Dave, you know Dua?" A small thing, a recognition, cost nothing. And it might easily have been omitted, but it built up my son Dave. Sheldua was a conduit of encouragement. He strengthened Dave's soul. And I know because I played for him that that is the way he has succeeded all these years. Other coaches did cuss a blue streak and call us names. And Coach Dua never did that. Never did that. I know sometimes he wanted to, but he never did it. Instead, he would say, "Not quite. Almost." And then, "Good job," when we got it right. Encouraging words have power. We all have the power to build each other up or to tear each other down. And this has been a lifelong learning process for me. And I'm not as good at it as I should be. But it is ancient wisdom in the church. If you look way back to Proverbs 16:24, and that's something to write down, 16:24, Proverbs. "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." Words are healing, encouraging, upbuilding. God's Word was made flesh in Jesus' life and teaching and wisdom and death and resurrection. That's all God's Word wrapped up together. And in that Word, I get one huge encouragement. It means God loves me. God thinks I'm real. God thinks I matter. God thinks I'm worthwhile and somehow more than the sum total of all my sins. God thinks I'm worth the trouble. God thinks I'm lovable. Yeah, that's the thing to take home. God thinks I'm lovable. I hate it when preachers on TV and radio do that hokey thing where they make the congregation say something, but there's an exception to every rule. Say this with me. God thinks I'm lovable. God thinks I'm lovable. Doesn't that feel good? I spoke to a grown woman recently who still clung to the kindness of a grandmotherly neighbor. It seems that when she was a little girl, maybe 3 or 4 years old, her parents were at each other's throats, fighting and throwing things in general chaos. And she, when that happened, would wander over to the neighbor's house next door, and Miss Janie would say, "Come on, let's go feed the chickens, or let's go water the garden." That sounds like nothing. How can feeding the chickens or watering a garden be God's grace? Think deeper. That little girl had a safe place to be, much better than hiding under the bed while her parents fought. Here in our Sunday school classes ought to also be, in the sanctuary and in all of our small groups, ought to be safe places for children and for adults. They should be places of belonging where everybody knows your name and your struggles and loves you enough not to dwell on your failures, but to give encouragement instead. I remember Sunday school being a safe place when I was a child. I don't remember one thing about one lesson, but I do remember my teachers, and I remember there was a mural of Jesus with little children on his lap painted on the wall, and I got this message: there is a God, and he loves me, and things will be okay. I understood before I ever knew the word sanctuary that church is a sanctuary, a safe place, a haven of blessing, a place set apart from the chaos of the world, a place filled with God's peace. And to be honest, as I am prone to be, only later when I attended board meetings as a pastor did I learn there were exceptions to that rule. That's another sermon. But churches ought to be like the Duke basketball team when they play in Cameron. On their home court, they are almost unbeatable because the home team, the crowd there, gives them such energy and support. Each member ought to feel that kind of energy and support here. This is your home court where you are cheered for, win or lose. We plant bits of God's Word and grace as we are able, or as God enables us, and slowly, surely, the kingdom of God grows through these random acts of kindness and encouraging words. But I think not so random. I think they come when we open ourselves to God's Spirit to be a conduit of God's grace. Caroline told me something that our women's prison circle does that impressed me. She said that they begin their meetings there at Leith Prison by saying, for example, "My name is Caroline and I am a child of God." Now, even though these women who are prisoners who come to this circle are women of faith, many of them find it difficult and emotional and hard to say those words. Those words are powerful and transforming when they say, "My name is Joan and I am a child of God." When we claim the name child of God, it just saying the words changes our self-concept. It changes our worldview. Taken internally and seriously and along with faith, it changes our lives. We don't always choose the right words, though. I've ran across this. I have time to share it. Soon after Al Smith was elected his first term of governor of New York years ago, he made an inspection tour of the state prison, Sing Sing. It was a long time ago. And after Smith had toured the whole place, the warden said that prison morale was very, very low, and would the governor please speak some encouraging words to the inmates? Well, he agreed, and on the spot, he opened the way he usually opened, "My fellow citizens." Then he paused and remembered, these are felons and they've been stripped of their citizenship. So he nervously started again and he said, my fellow convicts? And he said, no, that doesn't sound right either. So he was embarrassed and he finally said, well, anyhow, I'm glad to see so many of you here. And that didn't work either. That sounds like something I might do. But we all blow it from time to time. But I'm asking you to try to be open intentionally to God's Holy Spirit, who can use us as a conduit for His grace. See yourself as a child of God continuing Jesus' ministry of encouragement and hope. And the more you define yourself that way, the more naturally you will find the right words at the right time, even when you aren't trying. You may never know until heaven the kind of influence that you have had on others, and or how many times God has used you to give forth words of grace. You are important just because you are you. And you are also important as a child of God when you open yourself up to give grace to another. You will be used as a conduit of grace for others. You never know when. Just be open to passing on that encouraging word. And finally, in a former church, I got very involved in the life of a young, at the time, 14-year-old. She had been adopted, and then her adoptive parents divorced, and then her mother got remarried without even telling her that she was going to get remarried. And after all of that, and she was in my youth group at the time, she did a very serious attempt at doing herself in, a very serious attempt at suicide, and was a week or so in the ICU. She spent months after that institutionalized and later told me something that touched me and surprised me. You see, we had done, and I was her youth minister, a dumb little youth exercise in a church youth minister book, and I just said, okay, I'll try this. And what it involves, and many of you have done this, I cut out a little green stem out of construction paper, and I cut petals out of different colored construction paper, and we'd hand out the petals and such, and we'd say, write something that's complimentary or encouraging on each petal about this person, and pass them around, and they'd glue them together and make a flower out of these different people's encouraging words. Well, after the suicide attempt and after the institutionalization, and I got to visit her as she was getting ready to be released, she had this little faded construction paper flower on her mirror. This program that I had really forgotten about. And she said to her, at her lowest point, that it meant that some people in her church thought she was worthy, that some people in each different handwriting, each different encouraging word, that there were people in her church who thought she had talents and potential and ability to do things, that she had a future, that she was worthy. That little flower encouraged her. And the last I heard, she called me when I moved on. She was through college and happy again and was working, I believe, in law enforcement. What does that mean to you today as you carry it forth? Well, you never know how much someone near you needs encouraging, and you never know how much it will mean if you give them an encouraging word. You just don't know. Some people hang on to the words of encouragement that you give without a thought, like bits of floating debris in the sea wreck of their lives. In a dark moment, they may think that's all they have to hold on to. Give them something to hold on to. Please don't withhold what each one here needs and what cost you so little to give. Give an encouraging word. It isn't a small thing. It is a conduit of grace. It is the gospel connecting us all. Amen. Please stand.
now receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Savior, and the comfort, the encouragement, and the peace of the Holy Spirit, even in this moment. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.